Heavenly Father, everything that is yours. Everything we have has come from you. Everything we are called to do is done in your name. And it is only because of your love that the gap is paid. We ask that you bless us this day with an awareness of the abundance of your grace. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So if it's a little quieter this morning, it's because my children are with a babysitter. My wife is speaking at a conference in Virginia for a church there on the retreat, a church from Charlottesville that has actually supported us here at Holy Spirit in the ministry that we are doing to help with our neighbors after Harvey. And so it is somewhat ironic when I saw that a friend posted a picture of my children yesterday next to our car, and it said, one of the work crews going out today. Because, in fact, I did not get 3 masks and 6 gloves and don some mucking boots on my 3-year-old and 6-year-old to go forth. Probably better for everybody involved. But it is somewhat difficult to contemplate that here I was to greet groups that came in, and yet I didn't get to go out and do the work. Rather than being one of the teams that went out and mucked and moved piles and did all of that hard, hot labor, I played Marble Run and submitted my kids to college football, much to their sadness and their lack of desire to watch. But the truth is that in reality, it seems like no matter how much we do, there's not ever enough done. There's just so much that needs to be done. And I've heard from people over and over again that they just wish that they could do more here in West Houston. And so I gather with you this day to hear this morning's gospel in awareness that we all have this feeling that there's just so much to be done and we wish that we could do more. I wish I could wave a wand. I wish I had the resources to pay everybody's debt. I wish I could just fix everybody's house. And I am certain I am not alone in this. There's a desire to make everything well, to fix it. And so here we are, in the midst of an ongoing work, gathering this morning in the midst of God's presence to hear the good news of God in Christ, the good news of forgiveness of sins, the good news of salvation, the good news of grace. And so I gather with you this morning to hear the good news in the face of what feels like immense inadequacy. When Jesus speaks about the laborers getting paid for a day's work, even in the face of maybe not having worked the fullness of the day, there is no other word applicable but grace. For if we had a God that was an accounting God, if we had a God that looked at the bottom line, did all of the additions and subtractions, a God who looked at debts and interest, a God that insisted that everything be paid to a T, we would not be able to call this God generous. Generosity in and of itself is a matter of going above and beyond, of giving beyond what is expected. We all know this. If you pay your bills, you're not being generous. I dare you to call the electric company after you pay your bill and say, "You're welcome." No, there's an expectation. A bill to be paid. But what we have in God is generosity. A God who has looked at the bottom line and has paid the debt. A God who, because he is generous and faithful, has made up the difference for us. A God who rejoices in caring for us and filling in the gaps. So often this morning's parable of the vineyard owner and the workers is compared to the parable of the prodigal son. The son who goes off, takes his inheritance, squanders it, and in a moment of deep need, comes back simply to ask for work from his father, only to be met before he could even make the request on the road by a father who saw him from a distance, rejoiced, ran out, put his coat on him, put his rings on him, and declared, "Let us kill the fatted calf and rejoice, for my son was lost and he has been found." This is our God, who is generous, who doesn't account to the bottom line, but pays the debt abundantly, full of love and care. And so what this means for us is that as we gather this day here in this holy space, faced with an immensity of need after a hurricane, we are in need, not just now, but we were in need 2 months ago of God's generosity. That the overwhelming situation in which we find ourselves is a bigger version of our desperate need for God who paid the debt before, who gave abundantly, who filled in the gaps, who showered us with rings and coat and proclaimed, "Let us fill the fatted calf." In fact, this God has done this every Sunday for 2,000 years. And in fact, this morning when you got up, you pushed yourself out of bed, as hard as it may have been, depending on which game you were watching last night, threw on some clothes to look at least semi-respectable. You all look great. Got in your car, maybe grabbed enough nutrition that you could focus on the sermon, at least up until this point. And got here, got your kids out of the car in such a way that they didn't get hit by another car. Got into the church and sat down and took a deep breath and thought, "Well, I made it." I want to say to you that from a distance, God saw you and rejoiced. The moment you pushed yourself out of bed, God said, "Let us kill the fatted calf. The one who is lost is coming home." God didn't say, "Oh, this slacker again." God didn't say, "These people, what are they doing here?" No, God said, "Let us rejoice. Let's celebrate. These are my beloved." And so God is throwing you a party this morning. God throws you a party every time we come here together. God is throwing a party that he has been throwing for a very long time. And in the midst of that party, as we gather here this day, we hear about a God that is generous. Not that looks at the bottom line and pays the debts to the penny, but a God that showers an abundance upon us. A God that says, "Let us feast together. Let me feed you with my grace." A God that offers abundance in the face of a world of scarcity. A God that is allowed to make the sum of the parts greater than the parts themselves. A God that allows us to come together and multiply in his love. To see things at work in our midst that are greater than ourselves. Things have been happening here that are beyond what one of us could do on our own, or each of us individually. Houses have been mucked. My guest bedroom is filled with pots and pans and new towels and sheets. We've had donations from 27 states. I was going to name them all, but again, that nutrition thing and your attention span, I'm not going to do it. But I can tell you, from Georgia to California to New York, all over this country, we had parishioners and school families go to the Astros game on Friday night with tickets that allowed them to eat and celebrate. We've had supplies come in, diapers, so many diapers. My office was filled with diapers for a while. I couldn't even get around. Water, care. None of this is a summary of parts. This is what God is doing in our midst. There is an abundance of generosity that far exceeds what any of us could do on our own. There is something happening here in the Holy Spirit that points to a God of generosity, of grace, that sees sinners coming and says, "Let us rejoice and have a party. Let us come together and feed these ones in need, not only those who have been flooded, but those who are simply alive, because to be alive is to struggle." And God rejoices as we come here together. In fact, God will feed us with His grace. As we eat together, I pray that you will imagine the fat of the calf dripping from your fingers and lips as you receive the feast of this table. That just as God's people were fed in the wilderness with a daily feast of manna, that you will know that God's Spirit continually showers upon us an abundance of generosity and love. That nothing can make us alone when we have a God that is perpetually with us, who has paid the debt, paid it in full with His own Son, and promised that in the fullness of time, His generosity will show an abundance of love that exceeds what any of us can expect. These are difficult times. We all wish we could do more. There's just so much to be done. But let us rest in the hope of our God, who has promised to make all things well. And as we work together and come together, let us see the generosity of God's Spirit amongst us, so that we can not only care for one another, but hear that in the fullness of God's eternity, the debt's been paid in full. We've been welcomed home, and we've been fed with God's own grace. This is the good news in this time, in every time, and for every time to come. And it is the place we find ourselves today, and we'll find ourselves eternally. So in the face of such difficult times, let us have peace, know that we have a generous God, see God at work as we come together, and serve God in the hope of His generosity. Amen.